100 Word Stories.
Good morning, everyone. This is Lawrence Simon of the 100 Word Stories podcast at oneadayuntilthedayidie.com. Hey, how would you like to hear a bunch of 100 Word Stories on the topic of silliness? Well, that's what we've got for you today. How about we just get right to it, huh? Okay. The first story, Jeffrey's the first author to come up to the plate. What plate? Dinner plate? Okay. What's for dinner? Silliness, of course. Here's Jeffrey.
Hello, Jeffrey Fisher here with two stories on the topic of silliness. My first story is called Priorities. In the general internet silliness surrounding Private Bradley Manning's announcement that he would henceforth prefer to be known as Chelsea, what became lost was the fact that the private betrayed his country, violated the oath he took upon becoming a soldier, provided information to our country's enemies, and endangered the lives of his fellow soldiers. The lumbering ogre of political correctness, a debate over the proper pronoun to use, for goodness sake, shoved aside the severity of his crimes, and mindless speculation over which prison he will serve his time in overshadowed the harm he did. This story is called Silly Season. In the silly season for political journalists, when Congress was out of session, the president was on vacation again, and even the diehard pundits were at a loss for an interesting quote, respectable newspapers started to read like the National Enquirer. Senate leader caught in three-way sex, and they're all men, screamed a typical headline. Among such silliness, the headline, President Obama is an alien, fit right in. Jaded readers rolled their eyes and muttered something impolite about birthers. At Camp David, alone in an office, the leader of the free world relaxed, raised his antennae, and began a mind link with his home planet. They don't suspect a thing. Oh, that story? Well, timing is everything in this town.
Ah, it certainly is. Timing is everything. Thank you, Jeffrey. Now let me just put my antenna down and get right to the next story. Well, stories. They're all by Thomas, who's recently returned. We missed him. We missed you, too. We missed all of you. How about a story? Or two? Or five? Sure. Let's go ahead and listen.
Silliness is as silliness does. My adage for the last 60 years. I made an effort to do something silly every day, or at least once a week. This week I used a can of Day-Glow orange floral paint to paint all the dog turds in the park. I would spray what hadn't been picked up by the score of dog walkers that visit my favorite patch of land behind the church. I wanted to call attention to the crap, hoping that people would notice, and drawing attention to it so stepping in it with new white tennies could be avoided. Driving south on Highway 880 through Hayward, California, I eventually passed the sign reading, Stop Casting Porosity, on top of an industrial building. It was an enigma to most that saw it, but having worked in bronze casting and taking a blacksmithing class, I knew what it meant. When people asked me, I would make up some silliness. I told the first inquiring person that it was a warning to the movie and TV people not to cast Paula Porosity in any projects, since she was a tramp. I have a kind of professional demeanor, so my silliness goes unquestioned. Salvador Dali was full of silliness. I've been entertained by his pranks, and I've always enjoyed reading about him and looking at his paintings. He would play in the big rocks on the Spanish coast after putting a couple of ripe olives up his nose. He said that the hot sun would make the oils and aromas come alive in his nose and he would spend a good part of the day with the olives deep in his nostrils. I've tried this with black olives, green olives, including oil-cured, water-cured, brine-cured, lye-cured, and dry-cured. Pimento-stuffed olives are the ultimate rush. Master Chief Kelso was a stern-looking, dark-haired man. His desk was across from mine, and I did all his paperwork. He told a lot of stories about his adventures in foreign ports and in the houses of ill repute he visited overseas and in Mexico. He had dozens of stories filled with silliness or foul behavior. He told me about the woman that would do all sorts of things behind the closed bedroom door in a particular hotel in Tijuana. She would do anything you could imagine, but she would not kiss him. Her boyfriend would get jealous. I fart in your general direction. Your mother is a hamster and your father smells of elderberries. A few lines of silliness from the Frenchman at the top of the castle wall and Monty Python's Search for the Holy Grail. Not many films or TV sketches have caused me to blow snot out of my nose involuntarily. The sketches can be found on YouTube, and if you need a lift and are bent enough to enjoy the Python shenanigans, then tune in because it's good medicine and it's free medicine and it doesn't have those ghastly side effects.
You know what's also good medicine? This podcast and creative writing. It keeps the mind going. Going insane. Thank you, Thomas. We're glad to have you back. Next up, we have someone who's brand new. It's Bethan. Bethan is a little worried about a few things here and there, but nothing to worry about here. We don't judge unless something is truly, truly awful. But we haven't had anything truly awful in a long time, because I haven't written it. Bethan, relax. It's all going to be okay. In fact, here's your story, or two, or 20, or 1,000.
Hello, I'm Bethan, and I'm entering my first 2 100-word stories this week, both prompted from the word silly. I hope my audio's okay, and I hope you like my story. Jenny is very quiet. Her family jokes how she is this evil genius in disguise, and one day she will kill them all. It's always the quiet ones, her dad would say. When asked about it by a gullible family friend, she would give her normal response of a shrug. She thought how silly it was of them to think that she would kill them all, because as far as her experiments had shown, the dead remained dead, so she would definitely need living people to build her army to take over the world. Though she would need to kill the family friend who suspected too much. And my second story, based around a zombie apocalypse, and the prompt, silly. The worst death I've ever seen was this really stupid guy. That guy who you know will get punched in the face for being an annoying show-off dick. And if he doesn't, then you'll have to punch him in the face because the rest of the world is stupid as well. His death was his own fault. He decided to teabag his last kill. Everyone knows you double tap. Shoot them twice just to make sure. Well, he didn't double tap and got his balls bitten off. Don't worry, though. I always double tap. No need to be. Okay, so those are my two stories. I hope you liked them. I apologize for my storytelling ability and my audio. And hopefully I'll see you, talk to you next week. Yeah. Bye.
We hope so too. We'd love to hear you again. Audio quality, storytelling ability. You're a lot better than me. Me, I'm using 2 rusty tin cans shoved up my nose. And then I hum. And the cans, they put them on a record player and turn the needle sideways and run them along like some Etruscan urn trying to find the vibrations. Yeah, that's how they do it. Thank you for joining us, Bethan, And please, do come back. Don't be afraid at what all the horrible people do out there that don't comment. They should leave comments of encouragement. In fact, folks, you should do that right now, unless you're driving. Then, pull over to the side of the road, or you could just stop right there on the freeway, and leave a comment. Siri can do it for you. Siri, leave a comment. And then, like, yeah. Oh, the new iOS is coming out sometime soon. It may be this week. That'll be cool. Everything will look so flat. What's next? Spate! I met Spate in Second Life. That place there. We met a while back. And now, Spate has finally arrived. Here. On this podcast. Among you. The writers. Spate? Can we hear something? Something magical? Welcome to the podcast, and let's give it a shot.
John was born being careful. He wouldn't drink his mother's milk unless it passed the sniff test. At 3, he demanded training wheels for his tricycle. This fastidious caution clung to him into adulthood. He never drove over the speed limit, invested only in savings bonds, and always wore a condom, even when masturbating. There is no doubt that he took every possible precaution, but who would have guessed that one day a meteor would fall directly on him? In that moment before impact, John looked at death and realized his life's legacy had moved beyond irony into pure silliness.
Ooh, that one's a little edgy. I like it. Thanks for writing that, Spate, and recording it, because I don't record for nobody anymore. Dang it. I ain't the man. Cool. By the way, I've been saying in the recent promos, hey, if you don't record things, take it over to Drabblecast. That's not meant as an insult. No, really. Drabblecast.org is run by Norm Sherman, and they have a forum there, and people post up stories in the forums. And I think it's okay if you have a story here that you post it up there, maybe get the edges knocked off of it. Muncie's over there. And other folks sneak into there, too. I know that Steven the Nuclear Man gets some of his stuff posted up there. Has anybody else who's been here has been over there, too? Well, I've had one or two, but I haven't done that recently. But no! Sure, do it. Do it today. Give it a try. In fact, one weekly challenge may just be, get your story posted up to Dribblecast, which is all the people other than Norm Sherman and stories up there. They've got a lot of stories that need recording. We should be part of the community and make it a challenge to record every one of them and post them all up there that they've posted up there. That would really show them, hey, it's not so hard at all. And we have pretty voices. Just like Richard. He has a pretty voice. We should play his stories. Richard, are you ready? No? Good. Here are your stories.
Good morning. Are you seated comfortably? Then we'll begin. Two stories this week. The first one's called Taken Captive. The gun-wielding stranger gestured George forward. Take your time, and don't think of making a break for it, or any such silliness. George had absolutely no intention of arguing. He eased himself forward and slowly exited the container to find himself surrounded by a ragged group displaying an ugly array of weapons. Roughly, he was escorted to a concrete and steel bunker, inside a bare room containing a metal chair and table. Sit! George sat. Tea? Pardon? Said George. His captor slipped the gun into his belt. You look like you could murder a nice cuppa. Milk and sugar? Next story is called The Ministry of Silliness. My first day at the Ministry of Silliness was utterly bizarre. I'd never before worked anywhere that stupidity, childishness, posturing, and ridiculous behaviour were considered to be desirable, if not essential, attributes. But here it seemed pretty much anything goes. At first it was all very strange, but it's remarkable how the mind can adapt and, over time, will accept and even learn to embrace the blatantly infantile behaviour of one's colleagues. Even the world at large has grown used to it. Although, of course, to the general public, we're not the Ministry of Silliness. They call us the government. And that's it for today. Speak to you all soon. Goodbye.
Don't ever say goodbye. Say au revoir. Or, even better, hey, stay right here. I'll be back in a week. Or something positive. Never say goodbye. That means you might possibly leave us, Richard. No, don't do that ever. Ever. Oh, thank you, Richard. Next up, we have Muncie. I may have mentioned him earlier. I may mention him later. I may mention him right now. Muncie. Doesn't that just roll off the tongue? Fall into your lap? Leave a slight wet stain there on the cuff of your shorts. And you think, man, that's going to look strange. Like I did something wrong in the bathroom and didn't quite, well, you know, and it's all embarrassing. But no one ever looks there. Or do they? Muncie, what was the thing that you did this? How about I just hit play?
Oh! Oh, hello, Major! I hadn't seen you there. Too wrapped up was I in Muncie business, here in my knick-knackatory. I suppose you've come expecting a story, haven't you, Old Man River? Yes, I suppose you had. And trust me, on this day you shan't be disappointed. Unless the story is disappointing, I suppose, which it might well be, because I am awful. But that's neither here nor there, is it? Neither here, there, nor anywhere else, for that matter. So let's not tarry, shall we? Let's get on with it.
Silliness by Christopher Monroe. Enough of this silliness, she shouted, tears of rage streaming down her face. And on some level, I knew that she was right. The time for silliness truly was at an end. I put down the beanbags I'd been juggling, stepped down from my unicycle, removed my wig and bright red nose, and stepped to the podium. My father, I told the assembled crowd, died too soon, and his loss affected everyone in this room. But, and I think all who truly knew him would agree, I believe if he were with us now, he would have enjoyed this bit.
Broken escalator, flash fiction, and tweets. But you knew all that already, didn't you, old boy? Yes, yes, I had presumed that you might. Until next week, Major, I must bid you fare thee well. But don't say goodbye. Say good riddance, because truly I am awful.
Wait, I should have said good riddance instead of goodbye? But that would have been mean. Oh, Muncie, you slay me. And you shan't have had crap. That's a kind of verb that not just unusual or impossible. That just twists the whole language around it, like a boa constrictor around a Cuban stripper. Ugh. Get tickets to that tonight. Right. Thank you, Muncie. I was not shan't disappointed. I think that's right. You can leave a comment saying what the proper construction of that sentence would be, but you probably won't. Next up, we have Tom. Yes, that Tom. That Tom right over there. No, not that Tom. The other one. This one. Yeah, he's the one. You know, I keep thinking of Welcome to Night Vale. I worry that I'm going to become just like them. Popular. I'd better throw in a few things to throw the crowd off again. After 386 weekly challenge... Oh, crap! I could have made the topic of this one Intel, or computer chip, for an inside joke. God damn it. Oh well, maybe the next one can be math coprocessor. I'll shut up now. Here's Tom.
Hello, Night People. Tom here, and I've got updates. This week, Cliff becomes a golden monkey. Next week, Jeffrey becomes a golden monkey. Next week, Lizzie passes Liana. Next week, Muncie passes Anima, taking the 11th place. Tura is just 6 stories away from golden monkey status. Richard, in 2 weeks, will pass Ellison. We have a new third monkey, the Orson Welles chair, Sing, who inches ahead of Phil with 288. Story total, 5,555. Story average, 17. And your humble scribe has written 3 years of stories in a row. And the first story tonight, not quite all the king's men. I once was serious, focused, and on the political fast track. Then a Cuban idiot double tapes a door jam, and wham! I'm suddenly persona non grata. I thought how cruel and unfair my exile would be. But as associates started looking at jail time, I counted myself lucky. I'm sure the old man thought the whole matter was complete silliness, right up until the moment he stepped into the helicopter. Oh, the silliness didn't stop there. That Christmas, I received a presidential Christmas card, a uncanceled print job with a life of its own. Season's greetings from a dead presidency. And story two, a continuation of a well-defined relationship, part 15. "Madam, I'm at your service," said the senator. "Then a stop at the recorder's would be in order," said Widow Parsons. "In a landscape of shifting alliances, it's always prudent to have a lengthy paper trail." The senator took note of her thoroughness and mused, "A loss in one direction might well provide a win in a different direction." They followed Miss Bozeman out the main entrance. "What is this silliness?" she said as a tide of people flowed through the street. 1,000 shiny colanders were making their way to the center square. "Timmy," she cried.
Thank you, Tom. And congratulations, Cliff. I shall add your Uncle Monsterness to the page of monkiness. At least I think I don't know. I don't know which monkeys are which anymore. Maybe I should put up a catalog of monkeys, what monkeys are which, and all that, and the Orson Welles chair? After 8 years, I've never heard of the Orson Welles chair. Must be a big chair. We will sell no wine before it's time. I really like the Harry Lime radio series. Have you heard it? You should, if you like The Third Man. Those stories are a little more lighthearted, but they're good. They're really good. Oh, should I? All right. Next up, we have Serendipity. Yay! Now, remember when I said all those horrible things about recording these things in our own voices? Well, Serendipity's voice is actually a robot voice. Did you know that? No. What? Did you hear me move a bag? No, that must be your imagination. Now, actually, I went to the Micro Center. I picked up 2 spare USB mice, because I don't use Bluetooth mice. And I picked up some wipes, in order to wipe things. Oh, and some astronaut ice cream. That's good. Okay, so I ordered a new cooling pad for the laptop, since this only has two USB ports, I have to plug in a hub and this and that. Well, this thing will have one built right in, a hub. Even though this is Cooler Master, you wonder who's going to be the cooler mistress. So this will let me plug things in, except it got delivered on Friday to work after I left, as opposed to, say, delivering it at home, which makes it hard to get to if I get it delivered at home because the idiots forget that there's a package and they never tell me and I look on the site. And also, if someone sends me a package or a gift and I don't know about it, it just languishes. Because they're jerks. That's what they are. Jerks. The apartment people, not the people who send the gift. They're trying to be nice. Unless it's meat. We had that happen once, where something was left in the office for a week. They didn't tell us about it. And it was meat that had been shipped. We should have just left it there for a month. Stinking up the place. Jerks. Oh, right. Serendipity. I'm sorry. This was a horrible lead-in for you. Imagine that I said butterflies and puppies and rainbows. I just did.
Stood in the freezing cold, I cursed my stupidity. In my mind, I pictured my keys hanging in the hallway. The problem was, they were on the opposite side of the locked door. Of all the stupidly silly things I could have done, this was quite definitely the height of silliness. I tried pounding on the door, but I knew that my attempts to be heard over the noise of the storm were futile at best. Things were not looking good. I turned to face the fury of the Arctic night. Numb fingers wiping away frozen tears from my cheeks.
Thank you, Serendipity. And now a story from the dumbest man in the world, me. Yeah, after I went to Micro Center and picked up those things, I went to Target, and I got groceries. I really wanted to go to Target to get a silent fan, because it's still kind of sweaty and icky around these days. Yeah, the temperature thinks it's dropping, but it felt like over 100 yesterday, and it felt bad. I usually have a fan going. Unless I'm sitting here, because you would hear the fan. Unless I got a silent fan, which is why I went to Target, and I picked up groceries. So instead of getting the 2% cash back I get through places like Kroger or HEB or whatever, even World Pantry that sells Tarani stuff and ships it, I got double cash back there. But Target, I probably won't, because I'm stupid. Oh, sure, I missed out on a whole $1.30, I suppose. But it's the principle of the matter. This stuff adds up. It adds up, and I buy all sorts of crap on Amazon, or wind up getting stuff put into my savings account or something. I don't know. You know the interest on a savings account? It builds up. It builds up to the point where it doesn't do shit. I assume that over the course of a year, I'll have enough to buy a pack of gum. Probably not even that. The interest was like 9 cents 1 month. How much is gum these days? And I'm not talking about that bazooka gum, that crap with the cartoon in it. Although if the cartoon were The Far Side or New Bill Watterson, Calvin and Hobbes, oh my God, that stuff would sell. That stuff would sell. You know who doesn't sell? Lizzie doesn't sell. She's never sold out. She has integrity. Let us respect that and listen.
The old portrait was long forgotten in the attic. It was a pungent reminder of how silliness ran in the family. A descendant of circus clowns, Philip determinedly refused to continue in the footsteps of his family. He went to college, got a degree and a master's. Then he found a top-notch job at a broker's office and moved up the ranks faster than anyone else. A few years later, he was laid off on some minor discrepancy, most likely caused by his jealous and resented colleagues. You can't escape silliness. So now, He's a clown. Literally and figuratively. Okay, check my blog at lizzygoodcough.blogspot.com and check ires.me, M-E, where I post a few of my stories as well. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
I just saw her yesterday. You see, she came to my live reading, that stuff that I do. You know, the readings that I do on a different day now, but I'm not going to tell you the day or the time because they're just for people who are members of the group. I don't post them on Twitter or Facebook or Plurk or any other group. I just post them to the group. I sent out a new landmark, but it's the same location, just a different time and day. If you would like one of those, join the group. You see, it's that simple. Why am I being such a jerk about that? I don't know. But I'm not as much of a jerk as the people in the apartment office who let meat go bad after a week, or let people let their dogs poop in the laundry room. Oh, that's disgusting. I'm doing my laundry right now. I've seen no poop, and I've looked 3 times. I keep searching for it. I see poop in the grass, because dog owners don't clean up. Disgusting dogs. Cats at least have the sense to bury it. And it's dry. So, it's dry. Dogs. Dogs. Oh, sorry. I should probably play Cliff's story. You know, Cliff the new golden monkey. Not Clifford the big red dogs. Oh, sorry. Did I ever say thank you, Lizzie? I should. Thank you, Lizzie. You see, I meant it that time. Sometimes I say it and I don't mean it when people post stories that are just, got a pretty story. Folks, if you don't have it in you for a week, take a break. Relax. It'll be okay. And if you do come up with one later, record it and send it during the week, and I'll post it all by its lonesome. People will listen, I think. I hope. Unless it's Saturday morning when the site apparently goes down. June Farrimore told me that the site goes down on Saturday mornings. That's crazy. Crazy. I sent in a ticket. They said, no, it's up and running, which it was. But can't you just look at the log files? Look at the server? No, that takes effort. I know what else takes effort. Cliff, he takes effort. He takes it, and he hugs it, and he produces stories like this.
We did all sorts of silly crap in college. One time, our friend Scott said we could roll his car over for fun, and then he just turned it into his insurance. Nearly a dozen of us, emboldened by alcohol, set to work. We lifted and strained and nearly broke our backs, but we got the Honda over on its top. I heard Scott comment that his car looked almost blue instead of red in this dim light. That's when I remembered that Scott owned a Chevy. I was back in the dorms just before the cops showed up. And here's my second story, full of silliness. It started when I put my straw through the lid of my pop at McDonald's, and the straw squeaked. A couple of kids at the next table moved their straws to squeak in answer. A family of 4 crossed the room, all giggled, and responded. Soon, every customer was doing it, and we were developing a rhythm. Different sized cups made different tones. The amount and even the type of pop affected the sound. Without planning or leadership, a pattern formed. When the manager came out from the kitchen, we serenaded him with locomotive breath. He threw us all out.
I love that song. Thank you, Cliff, although their best song is Wind Up. That's a great song. They don't play it that often, though. They always play that Aqualung crap. Blech. Aqualung. Hey, you want to know what else happened this week? My laptop, the trackpad, got all jittery. I use a MacBook Pro Retina, and it's got all these fancy things in it. And it's all glass, apparently. So the trackpad started going crazy. Oh my God. So I switched to the mouse. I use an external mouse when I can, like right now. I brought it in, and I said, "My laptop, the trackpad went crazy." And the guys in IT, they're great guys and really nice. I used to be one like that. Then I wasn't so nice. But still, they did all kinds of things and did hardware tests, and then they cleaned the hell out of the laptop because it was covered in disgusting stuff. You know, look at your fingers. They look normal, but they have oils and other disgusting things on it. Do you pick at your ears? Do you pick at your nose? Do you rub your hands on things that you shouldn't? Well, I do all four, because I'm human, and I'm frail, and I'm a neurotic mess. I try to wash my hands often, and I keep wipes nearby, but do I look like Monk? Am I a monk? No, none of us are. Unless you are a monk, then congratulations, you're a monk. No, they cleaned the whole thing, and now it looks shiny and new. But I know that it's slow. I know that it's out of date. And I know that there will be a new one released soon, just like the 5C and the 5S. I have a 5. I have to get a 5S now. I have to. No, I don't. No, I'll wait for the 6. Actually, this thing has been serving me pretty well. I mean, what do I do with my phone? I record stupid crap on Audacity that no one ever hears because it never posts, because Audacity sucks balls. Well, it's a free account. What do you expect? I keep notes on it, which I end up putting on my whiteboard anyway. I read my email on it, which I really shouldn't. I should just, you know, relax. Oh, and I play lots of words with friends, so much that I have the most point total of any of my friends, which means I'm kind of obsessed. Oh, if you want to play words with friends with me, well, okay. And if you already are, yeah, I know, you've beaten me. I should have never gotten the stats package. How embarrassing. Oh, what? I should play a story. Okay. Well, my long rambling is nothing compared to the masterful storytelling of Sing. I think we're in our 5th part of his series, and there's going to be another part, although the next topic may make it difficult. Curveball. Oh, here's Sing.
The Lakshmi Plot, Part 5, by Chris Mooney Singh. The shaman lit incense, poured milk into a brass vessel and mixed in white round discs of sugar wafers known as patashas. He placed it before Bono Bibi and prayed. O Mother of the Forest, we are nothing, mosquitoes, dumb stones in the mud. Despite this, protect your lowly sons like Bhim Das and his family. Keep them safe in your womb for the full term, and place them there again and again. Do not leave their side, Ma. Oh, Ma, please listen. With that, he offered the milk to the goddess and entourage, and then to Bhim and Devika, who wet her finger for Priya to suck. You have received the first blessing, said the shaman, and passed Bhim a terracotta pot. Now, bring me some good mud. We are not finished here yet. Bhim took it, slipped down the rungs, followed the trail back toward the shoreline, where he squatted and squeezed his hands down hard between mangrove spikes. The stinking silt sucked and gurgled as he withdrew them, gradually filling the vessel. But each time, Beam had the sensation of being watched. Silly, he thought. Scanning around, he saw gelatinous eyeballs peering above the waterline some distance from his boat. A Sundarban's crocodile was following him. It was unnerving, yet he was determined to stay calm. He withdrew up the trail, climbing back into the temple with the mud pot. The shaman said, "Now make three balls like this," demonstrating the dimensions with his hands in the air. "Place them before Ma." Bim made the first. This big? It was the size of a toy doll's head. The shaman nodded. Bim added two more, reverently lining them up one by one before each forest deity. The shaman placed a leaf on each ball like a green hat and pronged three lit incense sticks into the floor cracks surrounding. From another nook he brought a basket of crab-like kankara flowers. Devika was passed a wire shank and thread. "Make," he commanded. She understood, and placing Priya swaddled beside her, began threading a garland. Eventually she handed it over. "Good. Red is Ma's favorite," the shaman said, circling the balls. Touching his right hand to heart, forehead, and head, he spoke, requesting the deities to enter the domes, sprinkling each with some milk scooped out with a leaf. All bowed, he smiled. "They need rest," Bim said, pointing to his wife and child, but also implying himself. "Soon," the holy man replied. And so they passed the night with the shaman. It wasn't his home. No one knew where he appeared from at honey season. Being a tribal priest approved by park officials gave him entry rights. Otherwise few could step here. But as always, money was bringing day-trip tourists, poachers, and timber exploiters, and the tribal ways of minimal harvesting were being submerged under climate change's rising tide, said the newspapers. He was connecting things up, and now pictured his own fields drowned and waterlogged. And he was just one of millions who eked out a living here. Turning over, he tried to sleep. Beam woke to baby sounds and the goats bleating. Devika had milked and fed the animal and passed Beam some in a cup. He drank it down, glad they had reached a safe haven for now. The old shaman had brought kura flowers from the pandanus tree for the goat and fresh water from the small pond over the rise. It sustained the birds, the barking deer herds, macaque monkeys, wild boars, jungle cats, and the bigger predator that stalked them all. So far, its name had not been uttered, the Royal Bengal Tiger. Yes, he remembered seeing those pug marks. The shaman had also gone to collect tree crabs in a pot. He returned, and soon set about boiling them on the mud oven moulded onto a veranda stone slab. They were turning bright red and soon piled on a plate. These were not the best eating variety, but given the circumstances, Bim wasn't complaining, now invited to break the carapaces and suck out the scraps of meat. After eating and passing the rest to Devika, Bim voiced what had been troubling him. "Baba, I saw tiger tracks." The shaman raised his finger to lips and said, "Shh." Then explained in a hushed tone, "When you say his name, it means you are calling him." Then staring directly into Beam's eyes, added, "Better to say uncle." Of course, this was the reason for the protection ritual. The Sundarbans predator was long known as a man-eater. Some speculated it had a cranky disposition being forced to drink brackish swamp water, or that it acquired the taste for human flesh due to the prevalence of half-cremated corpses sluiced down river after funerals. But the old shaman, who'd been coming and going here since a young lad, knew otherwise. The story was born in distant Medina, not India. Ibrahim, a childless Sufi, was visited by the angel Gabriel and was promised two offspring, Bon Bibi and Shah Jungli, he named them. When older, Gabriel returned, saying that they had been chosen for a divine purpose far from their desert homeland. Obediently, they came to India as merchants, where they met Dakshin Rai, a demon with a taste for human flesh. She and her siblings soon overpowered and agreed to spare him if he promised to stop eating people. She drew up boundaries where humans could live, leaving the jungle for the demon. But Dakshin Rai broke his word and became the Sundarbans' tiger god, stalking any strange villager who wandered into the forest. Thus, Bon Bibi and Shah Jungli were forced to remain and protect the people. We must obey Bon Bibi. The skeptical side of the young man smiled. Baba, there has to be another reason. Something more scientific? Ha! Did science save your fields or your mother from the cyclone? You young people, you forget the old ways, then suffer. He turned away and, facing the woven leaf wall, said, You will see. He had offended the holy man. It was not good, especially here. However, it couldn't be helped. Bim's little bit of education had bred in him some arrogance that was further inflamed by youthful pride. He wanted to apologize, but the shaman had already turned his back. So he decided to go out and collect firewood as a peace offering and hope the old man would have cooled off by the time he returned. Of course, he didn't doubt the reality of the annual tiger strikes, although none really knew why these predators, with animals galore to hunt, still favoured human flesh. He went to check his boat. It was tethered on the tide. A kingfisher dove and surfaced with a pomfret fingerling. White storks shifted about in their tree colony. He looked for pieces of wood, careful not to mistake liana for vine snake, and noted the monitor lizard slipping casually into the water. Stay calm, he told himself. Be more careful with old people, he thought. Who knew whether Dakshin Rai, the tiger god, existed or not, but the noisy monkey's presence at the waterhole suggested he wasn't around. It was getting dark, so Bim returned with the bundle of firewood. Devika dealt with the shaman's crossness by sweeping and keeping an eye on the goat on the veranda. Leaving it tied below would have been a flagrant invitation for an uncle visit. Having regular milk made her confident that her own milk would not dry up. To pass time, she made fresh garlands for the temple, scenting it with incense when the shaman went down to the pool to bring back water. Her thoughts were with Bim, her one support, and prayed to Bon Bibi in the temple for his safety, and then to Lakshmi on the veranda, waiting for him to return. Bim didn't want to arouse ill feeling, and after stacking the firewood by the oven, he took a cup of milk from Devika, then sat on the veranda looking out into the jungle. He listened a while to a fish owl hooting piercingly through the swamp chorus. He nodded rhythmically with clicking insects. The faint traces of breeze were so calm compared with what the cyclone had brought. He noticed now a scorpion perched on the rail and flicked it off. Out there were other eyes. So he went inside to sleep. This is how the first night of dreams began. Sometime after the half-moon rose through the sundari trees, he let go his vast exhaustion like an arrow released from a bow and entered the body of the beast. Bent down, lethal, whistling sharpness, he went forth a 9-foot missile mine from nose to tail, unleashed on all fours. He smelled the scent of a breathing body and zeroed in, grabbing it from behind, and then veered off with a lunge through the foliage. In the quiet, he tore the jugular and opened a river, feasting. The dream repeated until the moon dissolved behind the morning curtain of mist. The next night he again became that hurtling massiveness, this time bearing down upon a slender spotted deer. Incisors sank into warm meat, cracking cartilage and bone, but at the crucial moment the beast dissolved away. Disembodied, he felt extreme desire, yet without means to fulfill his craving. Was he a cannibal? The lost wandering ghost? Was this Dakshin Rai feeding on flesh and blood to remake his own flesh and blood? Claws and teeth were scratching and biting inside his consciousness. They were the howling souls of the stricken whom the ageless predator had once eaten and housed within himself. Beam was confused by what he was experiencing and wanted to ask for explanation from the shaman when they went out fishing. He took the net stored inside the shelter and cast it where the shaman pointed. He had not uttered a word since Beam expressed his doubts. But they worked and netted 2 large pungas, yellow-tailed catfish. Beam cleaned and scaled them while the shaman sat, arms crossed at the prow, staring into the young man. Beam endured those penetrating eyes that seemed to look through and beyond him to another realm. They moored and returned to the ridge. That night, he became the predator's prey, smoking out honeybees while dreaming of the anklet on his new bride's foot, or putting down the woodcutter axe to light a beady. He realized just before the neck snapped he needed the coal cutter clothing factory job, or screaming awake as a granny gripped by the head and dragged out through a hole in the wall of a village hut like a newborn extracted with forceps. These and other gruesome departures he would never forget. Bim woke up sweating, only to find fresh pug marks circled below the shaman's hut on stilts. You've been listening to The Lakshmi Plot by Chris Mooney Singh. Join me next week for the completion.
Thank you, Singh. Wow. I can't wait until next week. I can't wait until you post all of these up on your site in one fell swoop. And we're talking the most felling of swooping. You see, he's got a new site up there. The link will be in the show notes, I hope. And it's just cool that folks go from this to that and jump around, although he was already a master storyteller. Now he's the master of master storytellers. You see that dust all around us? He left us in it. Oh, man. No, I've used that joke before. Oh, well, I repeat myself. I think of myself as a podcasting kind of Fred Willard, rambling and improving and that kind of thing. I could never, ever, ever approach the greatness that was, well, that one guy who, great, now the name is eluding me, Jonathan Winters. I could never come close to that. Although I hope to this week. The company is going to be filming some employee testimonials. And you know how much I love my job. I love it very much. but I'm going to put it at risk by being very silly on the testimonials, apparently, where I'll go, they don't beat us as much as other people, although I may have had brain damage and forgotten how much they didn't really beat it. They may have just hugged us a little too tight. That's all. That's all they did. And the benefits are great. You eat all the food you want. Look how fat I am. Yep. Can barely fit through the door. They had to grease me up to get me in here. Well, that was kind of enjoyable. I may call that a benefit, too. Charlie, hey, you got some more grease left. You know, that kind of thing. So I've been known for doing weird things like that. I am going to be the blooper reel. I am going to be the story. Oh, what? Norval Joe? Okay, this one's going to go longer than an hour. I suck. Here's Norval Joe. I ought to hurry up because Rich Palmer is playing today. Yeah, that Rich Palmer. You won't hear about it, though, until this goes up, which will be too late. Because you're not in his group. Norval Joe, tell us a story.
Hello, this is Philip Norval Joe Carroll, and this is my entry for the weekly challenge number 386 with a prompt of silliness. Before I begin, I just want to mention that I met a woman named Lakshmi Singh. I said, hey, I know what your name means. And she said, you're right, because, well, her father was so poor for most of his life. He had 9 children. She was the 9th. And when she was born, they were actually quite wealthy by that point. So he named her Lakshmi in honor of the goddess of wealth. So here's my story for silliness. When the congregation stood to sing, Jaap van Merwe noticed, in the row ahead, Mevrouw van Rolk's dress was tucked tightly between her butt cheeks. He thought that must be uncomfortable, so he leaned forward and tugged on her skirt to pull it out. Before he could stand, she whirled, and fast as a Cape cobra, clopped him on the side of the head. The next time the congregation stood, and the woman's dress hung smoothly down her backside, Van Merwe politely tucked it back in. It's obviously not mine, but it's the silliest story I know. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
We like clopping on the side of the head. Yes, we do. Do it too much and we... Something. Oh, forget things. Thank you, Norval Joe. Ha 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 ha. My laundry's still going. I really want my laundry to be done. Okay, so cheap optical mouse. It's Inland. I was looking for like a cheap Logitech simple two-button mouse. They're like $30 on Amazon. You know, they give these crappy ones away for free with new PCs these days. And, of course, you have to get a real mouse. But I like the crappy old mice. I like them. I know they're not ergonomic. I know that they don't have huge ranges and they don't have 10,000 buttons. I don't need all those buttons. I've never trained myself to use those buttons. I've tried. Believe me, I've tried. But I just like the left, the right, the wheel. I don't even click the wheel. I don't use it as a third button. I used to have the third button, the middle button, as a double click. I never used it. I just double clicked. I'm that set in my ways. I try to do just right and left click on the trackpad. No, it took me a while to do the double tap. But you know what? I can't train myself to throw the gang signs. The flick your fingers up and you get mission control, you get this and that. I just keep changing windows, and I find it and I click. I waste a lot of time that way. I know I'm inefficient and old, but I get used to it. And I accept it, because I know that the effort I do put in means quality. Except for this show. I just slap it together and ramble, and you guys send stuff in, and you're the glue that keeps me together, not the other way around. I'm totally unglued. But you know who's even more unglued? Oh, Danny. Oh, and he suggested a topic I really liked. At the reading. on the day that I won't tell you, because you need to be a member of the group. He's a member of the group. Are you? Do you want to date my avatar? Don't. Stay away.
Oh, hello, Tinny. Meow. Meow. I'm petting your little kitty boy.
She has the prettiest blue eyes, and they're crossed, so she looks really stupid outside. Okay, here's Danny.
Hello, hello, Danny Dwyer here. And doing much better this week. The buzzing in my computer has stopped, and my little Maltese Freddy is sleeping soundly in his kennel. So, best time ever to get out this weekly challenge 386 called Silliness. I decided to form a band called Ho Brown and the Dilapidated Housing. We play a fusion of jazz, punk, new age, modern country, folk, religious, and children's music, all sung in Esperanto while playing chateauetry from our iPhones. We perform while running on treadmills. Our first track is called Having OCD at 8:30 is Bad When You Have to Be to Work at 9. It's a touching children's story about a lovable purple dinosaur who, while teaching children about the value of life, is hunted down and shot dead by Ted Nugent in Times Square. Obviously, this is a Disney production.
Ew. Disney. Gross. Ugh. Oh, thank you, Danny. You know, my wife never got me that Silver Pass. And I think the Southwest tickets have expired. But I wound up just sending them to some Angels of Hope thing. I wrote them and said, can I send and just donate this to Angels of Hope? It's just going to expire, and even if it doesn't, just don't tell me. Just do whatever I have to click. Just do it. I don't care. And then I just sent it with the code, and I said, whatever. I'm not the kind of person who likes to travel. I really don't. I don't like to go places. And I still haven't gotten the tickets for going up to Dallas for the music gym. I need to get off my butt and do that. And then we're going to go to the Renfest like 3 weeks before that for my... Oh, wait, I don't want to tell you. thank you, Danny. What? Justin's back. He missed himself. Well, I did too. Here's Justin. Let's all welcome him back.
Here, Space Turtle, Justin Lomaster here from thespaceturtle.com. It's been a couple weeks, but I'm back now. Rejoice. This story is about Saints Row the Third. It's a rather silly game, so I thought it would fit. And I worked in the last couple of topics, too. The leader of the Saints, the best gang in Steelport, careened around the corner in a stolen truck, bowling over pedestrians and knocking over lampposts. The driver door opened and the Saints' top member rushed out, not wearing anything, not even underwear, causing more accidents and mayhem. Then the Saints' leader shoved a member of Morningstar into a wall while running past, and they got mad and called friends. Diving to a clothing store, the leader donned sandals, shorts, tie-dye shirt, and a giant cat mask, and ran out guns blazing, incendiary ammo, setting the rival gang aflame.
That was rather silly, and I rejoiced. I rejoiced that Justin is back. Welcome back, Justin. Welcome back. The times you had, we all missed a lot. Welcome back. Oh, sorry. Are we over an hour yet? Yes, we are. Ha ha ha! You'll never get that hour back, ever. Time is fleeting, flying away from you, faster, faster. It's time to wake up. It's time to eat. It's time to work. It's time to go home. It's time to watch TV. You feel tired. It's time to sleep and start all over again tomorrow. Maybe you should shave at some point. The hair is covering your face, covering it all over. You look like a wolf man. A wolf man, I tell you. No, you don't. Tura doesn't look like a wolf man at all. Tura, how could I have suggested such a thing? I look like a wolf man. I should shave. In fact, that's what I'm going to do when it's finally time to encode this thing. But it's not time yet. Instead, it's time for Tura. It's Tura O'Clock. Tura, let's hear you.
As Tura is not a naturally silly sort of person, this week's contribution comes to you with the assistance of 2 liters of Belgian wheat beer, with orange peel and coriander. Mother Zeman went to town. Mother Zeman pulled a frown. All the burghers laughed at her, so she pulled the town hall down. Mother Zeman went to sea. Mother Zeman laughed with glee. All the sailors laughed at her, so she killed them. 1, 2, 3. Mother Zeman travelled far by the light of 1 faint star. When the star began to wane, Mother Zeman laughed. Har har. When the sun began to rise, Mother Zeman had surprise. Fish that flew and birds that sang, words of wisdom to the wise. Mother Zeman explained to me nothing of this mystery. And that was some silliness by Tura Brezoianu. The music was a Dutch folk song, Mother Zeman, which means Simple Simon.
Wait, who are these orange peel and coriander people? I want to know if people are getting assistance. I want a piece of that action. Oh, wait, sorry. Those are things, not people. I'm sorry. But the wheat beer. What's with the wheat beer? You know, I haven't drank any beer or wine or whatever for a long time. I keep forgetting. Yeah, I've got a bottle of wine chilling for a long time. Maybe I should have that wine. I will have that wine today. The whole damn bottle. I swear to you now, I will drink the whole bottle, Tura. As God is my waitress, I will never go hungry again. Thank you, Tura. You know, we've got one more story. I think you know who it's going to be from. Have you taken a guess? Hmm? Yeah, that's right. It's Planet Z. Yes, not that Planet X, or Planet Q, or Pluto. Pluto's not a planet at all. Not anymore. Pluto loses. Instead, here's Planet Z. Deal with it.
After boxing, hockey, football, ultimate fighting, and all contact sports were banned globally, people still craved blood sports. "Send in the clowns," said Don King. It started with seltzer water and balloon animals, but the clown fights quickly escalated into all-out bare-knuckle brawls. "It's good, clean fun," testified King to Congress. "Only in America. God bless the USA." Clown fights were banned, too. Don tried all kinds of gimmicks and stunts to feed the appetite of the crowd. Mimes, poets, furries, all banned. Eventually, he had a winner. Robots. All that money, and he still never got a decent haircut.
The cat shaking their collars. Oh, sorry. Hi. Man. What? Oh, and there you have it. A whole bunch of stories about silliness. A little silliness going on here. Thank you very much, everyone who was a part of the weekly challenge this week, every week, all day long, in the future, in the past, in alternate dimensions. I'm sure that in those alternate dimensions, there are stories going on as the hunter-killer robots hunt us all and kill us all. But the robots will tell stories, too, which are kind of robot-y. So thank you very much for listening and being a part of this. And it was all on silliness. Next week's story, speaking of hunter-killer robots, nanobots is going to be the topic. So, yeah. This has nothing to do with They Might Be Giants. Everything has to do with They Might Be Giants. Because he's loco. Eep, loco. Oh, sorry. I'll see you all next week. Until then, thank you for listening. Leave a comment up there on oneadayuntilthedayidie.com. And as always, keep it brief.